Greetings in the name of Jesus this morning. And it's good to be here and worship the Lord with you today. I'd like to thank you as a church for sharing your overseer with us throughout the last year or so, and allowing him to help us and to I could work with him in Thompson Falls, and I've been learning a lot through William's patience and kind way of working in the work of the Lord. And thank you for praying for our church and our ordination. This morning, Amos Berkey is at home preaching his first message, and yeah, he's probably preaching about right now too, because we're an hour off, and at 11 o'clock we preach our message, so it's 11:20. That's pretty amazing. And so thank you for praying for us, and that we can be an encouragement in God's kingdom for each other. I enjoyed the devotional this morning of thinking about Christmas. It's the Christmas season, and we as Christians are rejoicing that Christ came for you and I, and we have something to be excited about. Yet this morning I did not choose a Christmas message, but it has a lot to do with it. I'd like to talk about the fear of the Lord this morning. I'm not sure if I ever preached a message totally on the fear of the Lord. And most of my messages scatter around a bit anyway, so it's probably not going to be all about the fear of the Lord, but what does the fear of the Lord do for us also? The fear of the Lord, I noticed in the speaker's prayer this morning, he said that we might seek you diligently, seek the Lord diligently. That's part of the fear of the Lord when we're serious about our Christian life and we seek the Lord Jesus. Herod was troubled when Jesus was born. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The fear of the Lord was not very strong in that day when Jesus came. And a lot of people missed Jesus' birth. The fear of the Lord, if we could learn that, it will help us so much in our Christian lives. Maybe it fills in the gaps when things don't make sense, when we have the fear of the Lord. And we don't see things like we wish we could see, and we have the fear of the Lord, it will help us so much. And so we'll just take a little journey through the Bible here and begin by talking about the fear of the Lord. Psalm 28 is a favorite psalm of mine. I mean, Psalm 8, if you have a Bible and would like to turn to Psalm 8. I see a verse in verse 4 that reminds me of the fear of the Lord. Actually, Psalm 8 doesn't really talk about the fear of the Lord, but it gives us a beautiful picture here. The fear of the Lord is when we see how big God is and how small we are, and we just aren't very much. We don't have anything really to offer God. Psalm 8 is a beautiful psalm. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, and the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. This chapter speaks very much of the fear of God. Who am I? And yet God has put us in a responsible place in this world. We have dominion over the animals and the fish, the birds, everything that is in God's creation. We're responsible. And so it makes us important people. You are important. God created you in His own image. The problem is sometimes we think we're a little too important and we forget the fear of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Who are you? Who am I this morning? If it wasn't for what God has done, what am I? I stop and over here it's beautiful. The mountains on all four sides of you. They're huge. They're beautiful. Man could never build a mountain. Well, we have mountains at home too, but they're quite a bit farther, about 60 miles away from us, so we see them from a distance. But those mountains, God made the earth. What a mighty God we serve. He set thy glory above the heavens. God's glory. It's amazing. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, God's fingers just put things in place out there. The sun, you know, I keep forgetting, but a couple days ago I read again, 93 million miles away from the earth. And if we got on a jumbo jet at 500 miles an hour and flew for 21 years, we would arrive. That's the work of God's fingers. He just put it into place. The greatness of God. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The son of man that thou visitest him. The son of God. He came. In this vast universe came down and suffered and died for you and I. The fear of the Lord. We can grasp just a small part of the fear of the Lord. It's amazing how we could stand in awe before Him this morning. Psalm 111. Proverbs and Psalm tell us some foundational principles about the fear of the Lord. Psalm 111, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's a foundation for my life this morning. It's something foundational. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. We get the fear of the Lord as a foundation. Then it's the beginning. Then we have good understanding. And then His praise endureth forever. When we could get a hold of the fear of the Lord, we can praise Him forever. Because we are so small and He is so great. He is a awesome God this morning that cares about every detail of our lives. Let's turn to Proverbs 14. Proverbs 14, verse 26. Notice this one. Proverbs 14, 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Have you ever got to the end of the rope and didn't know where to turn? Maybe it was because of the fear of the Lord. We forgot God, that He's a strong refuge. He's a place of refuge. It's a strong confidence. Verse 27. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, to depart from the snares of death. A snare will trap you up and sneak up on you and put you in bondage, and you can't get away. I was over yesterday visiting the German Baptist friends, and the dairyman there is a trapper, and he has snares, and he had a few wolf snares out, and he caught a mountain lion right in front of the hips. nailed that big fella, and he couldn't get away. He was caught. It was a snare. And the fear of the Lord helps us flee the snare, keeps us from the snares of death. That's a strong consolation for us this morning. Proverbs 19, verse 23. A few more verses here. The fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. The fear of the Lord gives us so many promises, so many blessings, so many places to have peace. It's every area of our life. It's wherever we find ourselves, we can be satisfied. And God will give us his protection. I'll turn again to the New Testament here. What does the New Testament say about the fear of the Lord? In Acts 9, verse 31, talks about the early church. Paul was working in the early church, Paul and Barnabas. And Acts 9, verse 31 is a beautiful verse. It says, "Then the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." They were edified. They were strengthened. They were walking in the fear of the Lord, the New Testament church. They had a foundation that carried them through. What is the fear of the Lord? Do we know this morning what the fear of the Lord is? I asked my two youngest boys yesterday, I said, what is the fear of the Lord? And one of them said, when we're afraid of God. And I said, that's what I was afraid of, you know. Sometimes that's what we think about, the fear of the Lord. Wow, he's scary. He's something to be afraid of. We have work parents and dads to teach our children. The fear of the Lord is totally opposite of our English version of fear. It's a place of trust, a place of rest, a place where we stand in awe before a mighty God that controls the universe. And we don't have to be afraid of anything. And children often do a beautiful job of exemplifying the fear of the Lord better than us as parents. Their simple childlike faith has a fear of God that, hey, 4 years ago, I believe it was, a young boy of 8, 9 years old had cancer, Grant, in our church. He was not afraid of death. And we would talk to him, and his daddy would talk, "Are you afraid of dying?" "No, I'm not afraid to go home. Jesus will be in heaven, and I can be there." He had an example of the fear of God. He stood in awe of a great God that would watch over him throughout eternity. And he was ready to go home. He was tired of suffering and pain, and he was looking forward to it. It's amazing when a childlike faith has the fear of God. We do not fear man. I have a quote here that I believe. It says, "The fear of God takes away the fear of man." When we trust God, we do not need to fear men. Proverbs 29, there's a few verses we could look at that talk about the fear of man. Proverbs 29, verse 25. Says, "The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe." Hebrews 13:6 says, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me." So we can have the confidence in God this morning, that childlike faith, that trust, that will not fear what men might do to us. If we in America are afraid, how will we be ready for persecution and for suffering? Well, let's have a proper respect for the fear of God. Luke 10, a New Testament phrase about trusting in God and not to fear. Luke 10, verse 28. I'm sorry, I got the wrong reference here. But the phrase I want is, do not fear man, but rather fear him who is able to cast you into hell. Rather fear God, the judge of the world. Rather have a proper reverence and respect for him. Because someday we will give account for how we live. For how we live. How can we be prepared for that day? How can we be prepared for that day when God will give us account, when we will be called to give account? Well, that's part of the Christian the Christmas message here this morning. Jesus is the Christian's hope and anchor. John 1, verse 9. Jesus is the greatest one. He's my anchor. He is the one that I can fear today. The fear of God teaches me to accept Christ as my personal Savior and to allow the Lordship of Jesus Christ to direct my life. In John 1, verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man that came into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus Christ is the answer for you and I today. When we have a fear of God, we do not trust in ourselves, but we place our salvation, our only hope, in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our anchor. I was reading a testimony of a popular television evangelist. I think he was 10, 15 years ago, I remember, when he is at the height of his popularity, and he is very influential. He had a huge ministry, and he was taking a lot of money off of older people, and you'd probably know his name. But all the glitter and glamour of his crusade and his ministry, it led to, I don't know, I think it started out wrong, but it fell flat on his face, and he was caught in adultery and gross sin. He was a disgrace to the name of Christ, and he lost everything he had. He lost his wife and family and was put in prison. And a man later visited him and asked him, you know, what are you learning from this? And his testimony was that prison was a place of God's grace. It was not a place of judgment, but he saw Christ as his Savior, and he saw Christ as Lordship salvation instead of just a friend. And to me, I see that this man found the fear of God. You know, there was authority in his life that he could not pass up, that he could not get around. And he said this prison is a place of freedom for him today. And he said if it wasn't for prison, he would have went to hell. A man that was in the ministry, a man that was very influential, but so wrong because he did not preach Lordship salvation, a place where the fear of God is serious. And he saw prison as God's mercy instead of his judgment. I thought that was so beautiful. That's the kind of salvation that Jesus came to the world for, you and I. That we could see Christ as Lord of our life. That's the proper fear of God that God is speaking to us. Another angle we could look at as we think about the fear of God, and I mentioned already, we do not follow men, but we have the fear of God. It's not the fear of men. Isaiah 29, we see in the book of Isaiah, as he preached the word of God, and he wanted to turn the children of Israel to a heart of flesh, a heart that would be open to the word of God, that would not follow men in their foolish ways, but would see the Holy One, the God of Israel. And Isaiah 29, verse 13, I'd like to just share a few minutes the importance, the seriousness of having the fear of God and not men. Isaiah 29, verse 13 says, "Wherefore the Lord said, Forasmuch as these people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder, for the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide the counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. And they say, Who seeth us, and who knoweth us? Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, He made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, He hath no understanding?" The thought, the seriousness of following the commandments of men, the precepts of men, it is not for the Christian that fears the Lord. We are following the Lord Jesus Christ, and the precepts of men are a dangerous thing. Walking in the fear of the Lord, trusting in the Lord, and not being swayed by the commandments of men. It's a danger to place our trust in people, and to follow popular people, and follow television evangelists that preach a false gospel, or to preach extra biblical things is a dangerous thing. And none of us are a safe place to find trust, but to trust in the Lord and to have that godly fear. What does the fear of God do for you and I today? Are there some things we can see in our lives that will really exemplify the fear of God? I just have three things here this morning that I thought about. I'm sure there's, if we would just read the gospel, this book will teach us the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, and it comes from this book here today. But a few thoughts I had, so that we do not follow men, but we follow God. The first one I would have is, let's have a faith that will not shrink. A genuine faith. We're saved by grace through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I could be faithful. I could preach the word. I could lead many souls to Christ and serve for 50 years, and it would be nothing of meriting my salvation for what Jesus has done for me. not of works, lest any man should boast. It's only the grace of God that saves me. And do I have that genuine faith that every morning when I get up, I say, Lord, show me a picture of you today. Let me see the beauty that you have given so that I can get a hold of it and exercise my faith today in you. The greatness of God. Have a fear of God faith and not a fear of man faith. You know, maybe so many young people are gone. A lot of the young people are gone today. And, you know, do we as parents teach our children to have faith in God? It's easy to get hard on the young people and say, where's your faith? Where's your fear of God? But you as parents, as dads, are responsible to pass the fear of God onto your sons and daughters, to show them the greatness of God and the beauty of His holiness. It's up for us as dads to teach that. It's up for us as dads to have that for our wife. You know, Friday was a beautiful time of a Christian marriage joining hearts and hands. And the Bible says, husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. I think that verse tells us the fear of God. As husbands, we lead our wife. As husbands, we're responsible for the light in our wife's eye. You know, when she has become a tool for us, when she is along for the ride and she is not valuable, our prayers are hindered. When we have the fear of God, there should be a light in our wife's eye. And we're dwelling with them according to knowledge. And we're giving honor to the weaker vessel. And we're heir of the grace of life. That's the proper fear of God. And then our prayers, our faith is not hindered. It can be a glorious home where the Lord Jesus is exalted. It's a faith that will not shrink, a genuine faith. Another thought I had, what does the fear of God do for you? It helps us that we do not forget God. Our prayer life becomes meaningful. As parents, the fear of God gets us up in the morning to pray for our children. Maybe you pray at night. Whenever God speaks to you, am I listening? Are you listening for the voice that teaches us to teach our children the fear of God? I love to hear a man of God pray. One that has a fear of God. And he's talking to God like God's hearing him, and God cares about every detail of his life. That's so beautiful. We do not forget God when we have a proper fear of God. You know, there may be a day when we become selfish and we do not think of God like we should, but when we have a proper fear of God, we'll come back and we'll hear what God says. We'll know where to turn to every time. Philippians 1, verse 27. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. That's a genuine faith. That's a faith that prays and is alive. A third one I have is, when I have the fear of God, it makes me a thankful person. It makes me a grateful person. I don't forget. I cannot afford to forget where my next breath comes from, where my next heartbeat is. God gives that gift to me. It's not about me. It's about what God has done for me. Giving thanks always for all things. That's a tough one, isn't it? We get selfish and we forget. But when we have the fear of God, we're thankful. We appreciate what God has done for us. We stand in awe before the Holy One, the one that left the glories of heaven, suffered and died for you and I. In closing, I'd like to read Malachi 3, the last book of the Old Testament. A few verses. Talks to us about the fear of God. Malachi 3, verse 16. May this be an encouragement for you this Christmas season. Let's keep Christ in Christmas. Let's remember the Lord, what he's done for us. Verse 16, then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened. God hears when we speak often one to another. And heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and them that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spareth his own sons that serveth him. Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth not. Praise God this morning for the fear of the Lord. It encourages you to press on to a closer walk with God. May God bless you.